That's a sample of Lucid Lullaby, which we'll be hearing a little bit later in its entirety. And the bassist is Linda Mahan Oh. She's one of the world's premier bassists today, and one who travels around quite a bit and plays all kinds of genres, but I suppose is still best known as a jazz bassist. Is that correct?
I'm primarily a jazz musician, however you define that, but I did, I have studied a lot of jazz music and play with a lot of great jazz musicians who improvising musicians, yeah.
But you started out, in Malaysia?
Yeah, I was born in Malaysia, and when I was three, my family immigrated to Australia, to Perth, Western Australia.
Mm-hmm. And so is that where you first became exposed to jazz, or what was going on musically for you as you settled into Perth?
Yeah, basically in Perth was where I was exposed to jazz music. I spent my high school and before high school studying primarily classical music, classical piano and classical bassoon. And throughout high school, I started dabbling and teaching myself electric bass, playing in some rock bands. And from then it kind of transitioned into jazz. There are a lot of great musicians in Perth, jazz musicians, and I was exposed little by little to the music, and that was kind of my first experience with the music.
So as you make the transition or made the transition from classical piano and bassoon into electric bass and rock bands, what were you thinking in terms of career?
I wasn't necessarily thinking career at that point. I mean, I grew up in a family where music was kind of more the backup plan, you know. I have two older sisters who are doctors, and one's a veterinarian and an animal doctor, one's a human doctor. I had other plans in mind, law, other things. Eventually I came to a point where music was a large part of my life, and I knew I wanted to pursue it professionally, not just as a hobby. And that was just my personal feeling, you know. So I went to pursue it in a university in Perth at the conservatory there. And then eventually I ended up moving to New York City, studying at the Manhattan School of Music. I've been in New York for the past 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Playing primarily the more traditional string bass?
I guess so. Yeah, a bit of both. I enjoy playing both upright and electric bass, and I think both are great instruments, and they serve their own purposes depending on the music that you're playing and the style you're playing. So, yeah.
Well, I suppose for upright bass, there would be a lot more prominent, let's say, repertory for the instrument in jazz than there would be in classical. I mean, there's really just a handful of, say, concertos for the instrument in classical music, and although there are some nice highlights in some of the orchestral literature, you don't really get to shine that often in the traditional classical repertory.
Admittedly, I have studied some classical, but I'm probably not the person to talk to in that realm of things. I enjoy being a bass player, and I enjoy improvising. I enjoy playing jazz music, and I enjoy writing and playing my own music too. So,
well, you have such a diverse background. I mean, ancestrally Chinese, and then Malaysian, and then Australian, and now New York. How does that express itself in what you play?
It's hard for me to comment on that in the sense that, like, I don't know any differently. Like, people do comment that I do have a diverse background, but it's kind of the only background that I know. So, we weren't exactly exposed to a lot of traditional Chinese music or traditional Malay music. My dad had a few records, and, you know, he may play some music at home, but I wasn't necessarily influenced by those genres growing up, you know. primarily the focus growing up was more on classical music, and the music that I did kind of absorb was actually from friends and from my older sister, who had a very diverse record collection of everything from Led Zeppelin, Red Hot Chili Peppers, to John Zorn, to Miles Davis, you know, you name it, she had it. And, you know, I think that kind of influenced me a lot. In terms of my background, it's, you know, it's something that I've been thinking a lot more about more in the recent years. You know, sometimes growing up, especially as an immigrant, moving to a different country, and maybe not having, you know, a close-knit immigrant community. Like, we weren't necessarily, like, part of a Chinese community in Perth. You know, we went to Chinese school every Saturday, but, you know, so much of the emphasis is on assimilation, you know, and a part of me really wishes that, you know, I did, part of me wishes that I did kind of embrace a lot of that time at that Chinese school. And, you know, at the moment, I speak a little bit of Mandarin, and I can get by for the most part. But you know, definitely at that time, your focus is on assimilating. You know, and as you get older, you realize the value of your background and certain traditions. And it's something that I have definitely looked at more as I've gotten older. You know.
So tell us about Lucid Lullaby.
So Lucid Lullaby, it's a lullaby. I've kind of coined it a lullaby more for adults. I don't think of it as like singing a baby to sleep. And originally the title was called Lullaby 18 Plus, you know. Lucid Lullaby, you know, it's just a pretty tune to me that's kind of musically it's more bass centered, I guess, you know. A lot of the music on this new album, I feel that a lot of it is more bass-centric than maybe perhaps my previous albums. So, yeah.
So we'll hear a bass solo version of Lucid Lullaby. The performer, Linda May Hano. Lucid Lullaby. And my guest is Linda Mae Han. Oh, you have an interesting concept for, I can't even call it CD releases. It's quite an interesting package, something new.
Yes, so this next album, Walk Against Wind, it's being released by a record label called Biphilia Records, started by Fabian Almasan, who plays on this record. He's a pianist, keyboardist, composer. Basically, the record label, we collaborate with environmental organizations. We do some volunteer events and other things. And all of the artists, the primary concern with the art is the music, but also they believe in environmental sustainability and environmental issues. So, so for this particular design, it's a patented design. It's a 20-panel origami-inspired piece of paper art, FSC-certified paper, vegetable-based inks.
Wow.
And it's completely plastic-free, meaning that there is no physical CD.
You'll be surprised if you just pick it up in the store and open it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like an explosion when you open it up, like a big pop-up card almost. So the MO was to go plastic-free, and there is a download code inside that enables you to download the album in various quality formats, same as CD quality. It's not just MP3s. It's a different design, caters for people who want something a little bit different, and for people who like download codes or download music, but they want something physical to actually see with liner notes.
Sounds like the best of both worlds in contemporary times. Now, as a jazz bassist in New York, what sort of gigs do you play, or do you focus primarily on, recording, or do you do club dates, and if so, what kind of things do you play, and in effect, how do you market? Do you market yourself, as we implied at the beginning, as a jazz bassist?
I personally don't really think about marketing too much in the sense that I feel like first and foremost, for me personally, it's about trying to make the music that you want to create, trying to play with the music that you want to play, and play with the people that you'd like to play with, being as sincere as possible, with your own music. I feel like, trying to do something that is insincere kind of hinders anything, really. Well, for me personally, it's about, playing the music that I want to play, and throughout my life, I've played a lot of music, and I really enjoy the music that I'm playing right now. And ultimately, you work hard as a musician trying to get as much experience as you possibly can to become a stronger musician, to become a well-rounded musician, or to try and find your own voice where you want to be, the music that you want to create. And a lot of this time is spent doing that, And, hopefully, throughout your career, you try and find more and more only the things that you really want to do. I enjoy playing a lot of music. I enjoy being a side person. I enjoy being a band leader. Each of those experiences have something that you can learn from, something that you can grow from. But ultimately, when I started playing music and, playing the bass, I wanted to get as much experience as possible, And especially moving to New York, it kind of meant taking everything that I could get,
sure.
And trying to put yourself in as many different, give yourself as many opportunities, different learning opportunities to grow, I've spoken to a lot of musicians about this, and I have some friends and peers who didn't go about that the same way. They studied music intensely, but they had a more definitive place that they knew they wanted to be. And ultimately, every musician, every person is different. You know, everyone goes through life with different experiences and different intentions. So for me, it was about trying to do as much as I possibly could and just become stronger, because I wanted to learn, I wanted to study and grow, you know. And that's what the experience of moving to New York and studying music and playing with as many different musicians as possible, that's what that gave me, and it's still giving me that, you know.
How about some Pat Metheny?
Yeah, so I've been extremely fortunate in the last year or so to have been playing with the amazing guitarist, composer, musician, film scorer, Mr. Pat Metheny, and it's been amazing, you know. He's been a hero of mine for a long time, you know, and I grew up listening to him, and to be able to play in his band, it's unbelievable, you know. He's such a tremendous musician who has, you know, really worked hard to be where he's at now, you know. Such a definitive sound, definitive compositional style, super melodic, yeah, it's a real thrill, and I'm extremely lucky.
Can we get you to play something?
Mm-hmm. So this is a tune called Change of Heart, and it's from the album Question and Answer, which is a fantastic album that inspired me a lot, featuring Pat Metheny, Dave Holland, and Roy Haynes.
Pat Metheny, Change of Heart, as played by my guest, Linda Mahon. Oh, as a jazz bassist, do you ever use a bow?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, primarily most of what I do, yeah, I mean, I guess is pizzicato, I guess. Classical bass, you know, it's something that I practice a lot and I'm working towards. Actually, at this point, I'm actually reconfiguring some of my technique and trying to go back to real basics, you know, relatively recently. So, yeah, from time to time.
As a well-traveled bassist, how do you work the logistics? Now, you have this borrowed bass that you've been playing today.
Yeah.
But how do you usually travel?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a luxury for a bass player to be able to travel with his or her own bass. And, you know, there are moments where I can do that, you know, but it's definitely tricky, you know, with airlines these days and travel costs and, you know, it's a good skill to have, you know, for bass players to be able to try and figure out how to navigate a new instrument, you know, how to still sound like themselves. And, you know, although it's really great to be able to play your own instrument, and I'm very lucky that when I play with Pat, like, I'm able to play my own bass, you know. But, you know, the experiences that I've had playing rental basses or pickup basses, some have been pretty horrendous, but you just have to deal with it. And, you know, it's a very humbling feeling sometimes. You have to try and make it work, you know. We try and send our technical riders well in advance so that there is no kind of discrepancies, you know, between what we're given. But it's hard, you know. I think bass players, we all have our different techniques, you know, whether that mean bringing your own strings or bringing your own pickups, that sort of thing. And I'm thankful that technology is getting better and better, you know, with a lot of these things. You just try and make it work. You try and make sure that string height can be adjusted or it's to your liking. And if it's not, then how do you problem solve? How do you troubleshoot that, you know?
You have to get pretty resourceful, don't you?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
What do you play then? What instrument do you play back in New York?
Yeah, so I have a Frechner bass. It's a German bass. I've been told it's like roughly 100 years old or so, maybe a little younger, yeah, it's a great instrument. It's definitely me, you know, and it's been with me for, I guess, the past 10 years or so. Mm.
How about a standard?
Yeah.
What would be good?
So this is a tune called Slow Boat to China. It's kind of funny. Me being of Chinese descent, it's kind of a bit on the nose in a way. And, you know, it's just a beautiful tune that I really like. And, yeah.
Slow Boat to China. Mm. Thank you. Slow Boat to China. Now, we, of course, associate jazz with improvisation, and if you compare this performance just now, Linda, to the last time you played it, how similar would they be?
I always try to not really think too much, you know, and the goal is to improvise and not play things that you've pre-planned before. That being said, you know, playing solo bass, you know, there are certain things that work, trying to cover all bases, you know, pun not intended, but, you know, trying to make sure that you hold the melody down with the bass notes, with the root notes or other notes that help outline certain harmony. So, you know, there are certain things that work and can be kind of figured out, you know, but at the end of the day, when you play it, you know, having things set in stone all the time sometimes may not be the best idea, because you might come up with something even better, you know. So, I mean, in the case of solo bass, like, yeah, certain things work, certain things may have kind of pre-planned that, oh yeah, that harmonic works when you play that open string, you know. But, you know, for the most part, it's just about playing music and being in the moment.
Well, thank you for taking a moment with us here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and best of luck with your future travels and recordings.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
My guest has been Linda Mahon. Oh.